Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Recruiting Animal here on February 27, 2019. I'm going to give you my usual little talk before we get going. You know, I have always thought that it was wrong to get little kids involved in political demonstrations. You see it all the time. There's some kid with a sign on his dad's shoulders, you know. But it is degrading, okay? Because when you're only 10 years old, everybody knows you don't know anything and you're just parroting what some puppet master tells you. You know, Carl Bernstein, the famous Watergate reporter, he said that his parents were communists. So when he was a little kid, they took him out demonstrating in front of the White House. They lived in Washington. In front of the White House, he was demonstrating for the Communist Party. Okay? Now, why am I talking about this? Well, just this week, a bunch of little kids, maybe 10 years old, they called on Senator Dianne Feinstein in California, and they told her that she has to take radical action to save the world from climate change. They want her to endorse the Green New Deal, right? They insisted that she was in government to serve the people, and they were the people, so she had to do what they wanted. You know what? She said, "Hey, kids, I was just reelected by a big majority, so I am representing the people." So one kid says, "Hey, well, we voted for you." And Feinstein says, "How old are you, you little punk? You didn't vote for me." You know, and I saw lots of people on Twitter, you know, complaining that this proves that Dianne Feinstein is what's wrong with America. She's too old to be in her job. But I thought that what she said was great. She told them how a democracy works. A few people don't run everything. Well, maybe they do, but not those guys. Anyway, I'm almost done. The kids' teacher was there. You know, she taught them how to make non-negotiable demands, obviously, but she forgot to tell them how the world works, and that's something we don't forget here on Jerry. Not sure is.
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. You're welcome, animal. Yeah. Jerry didn't bother to come today. I guess it's snowing outside. That's his excuse today. Who knows? He's always got something. Anyway, I want to thank my sponsors. Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, the online interview technology. Hire Tool, H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L, the super-duper sourcing tool. And PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. And just, I have to tell you something, Hire Tool has a webinar fest, doing 3 dates with webinars with Todd Davis. He's been on the show. He's working at Indeed as a sourcer. He used to be with Google. He used to be with Amazon. And it's all about sourcing on Facebook. So Thursday, who's doing that? Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. I guess that's 1 o'clock normal time, Eastern time. So it's tomorrow, next Tuesday, March the 5th, always 10 a.m. Pacific time, and then Tuesday, March the 12th. So I'll be telling you about those later dates again. All you have to remember now is tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time, he's going to show you how to use Hire Tool. Let me see if anybody is here. Yeah, the guest is here. But Jerry,
animal,
I can't.
Animal. Real quick.
Kathy.
My mom went to summer camp with Dianne Feinstein. She never
Your mom was 85 when she died? Or 84?
She was 84.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe it, Kathy? The guest has like he's not in a restaurant, but he's got a ton of noise behind him there. I haven't talked to him, but all that noise is coming from the guest.
Can you hear me?
Terrible.
Yeah,
that
I can hear you now.
I was muted before. It wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
No, I was a mute.
Okay, we've only got, you know, right now there's area code 210. Is that Michael G. Cox? He's muted. Okay, let's get going. Thank you, Kathy, for that. Okay. Anyway, this guy's name today, his name is Hamlet. I never met anybody. Hamlet is the most famous play in the English language. I've never met anybody named Hamlet, but his name is Amleto, which is that how you say your name?
Yes, Amleto? That's correct. You said it right.
But I looked it up. That's an Italian name. Are you Italian?
I'm Italian originally, yeah. I've lived in
Italy. Okay, but you're living in Barcelona, Spain, right?
Yes, now I am, yes, indeed.
Okay, and your name is Montanari, your last name.
Montanari, yes.
Montanari,
yes.
Okay,
well.
Thanks.
Yeah,
great.
Italian.
Okay, yeah, okay, lots of Italians here where I live. Okay, so you gave up a good job. You were a VP of strategy at J.P. Morgan, okay, and you have two kids, and you threw it all away to start up this company called Flutter, F-L-U-T-T-R. Am I right so far?
Yes, absolutely.
You threw it all away because this was a passion for you. Hiring was a passion for you, okay? And I looked at – you've got a nice little video that explains everything about your offering, and I went there and I joined, so I took a good look at it. Let's just run through it and tell everybody how it works. First of all, you don't give a hoot about resumes. Resumes are on the back burner for you. Am I right about that?
It's we treat it as a complementary tool to what should be assessment of a candidate. So today,
okay, it's like a side dish. Okay, a complement.
Yes,
so it's not the main, main dish. It's on the side, right? It's like the mashed potatoes. Okay, but is your product, is it only for I guess it's only for applicants. It's for people who are applying for a job. It's not for sourced candidates. We'll come back to that later. So resumes aren't important. Someone applies for a job, and they go to this, what do they go to your website, or there's a link to your website on the job ad? Is that what happens?
No, so the company comes to our website, it's client, so it's a SaaS tool, so companies pay for it, and they set up a challenge, what we call a challenge, which is a test.
No, don't get ahead of me.
Okay. But then basically candidates are invited.
You know, like I'm advertising for a senior recruiter. Okay, where is someone going to see it? On monster.com, and then there's a link to your website?
You send a message.
Why not? Doesn't that make sense? Why not?
It does. But we need to talk to monster.com first.
Well, what do you mean? The company just has to include a link in their ads. Go if you want to do it. So anyway, you go if you're an applicant, you go and do this test. Amleto's going to tell us you have to do a test. I looked at the test for a senior recruiter. It was pretty tough. I can read out some of the questions, but who makes these tests? And it's going to take 2 hours. This is not a little test. The one that I looked at said it's going to take 2 hours to do that test. Who writes that test?
Yeah, so we have experts as part of our network that write the test for us. And then we have it's a referral program. So we do marketing for the experts that write tests for us. And then every time a company pays for our solution because they use the test of one of the experts, we basically do a revenue share. So basically it's crowdsourced.
So you pay. So these are paid experts. So the thing is, but you're getting ahead of me. Don't rush, okay? First, before the expert grades a thing, they have to write them. You've got what you call templates. You can put it in your own challenge. You can put in your own test. You can write your own test with all the questions that are important to you. Or you can use a template that you guys supply. Okay? Yeah. And the ones I looked at, you know, they were pretty tough. Okay. Then after the person completes the test, it goes to an expert who isn't even in the company. It's not in a hiring company.
No, it can be in the hiring company, or it could be an expert that we can provide. So it's both ways.
Okay, and so this is your big deal. The expert doesn't know the age, the name, the sex, or the race of the applicant, right?
Absolutely. They know nothing about the candidate. They just know that there's a response with the username. That's it.
Okay. And then they grade the test.
Yes, they
right?
they get the responses, and then based on that, we give a feedback to the HR department.
Okay, but the candidate can go and look at a leaderboard and find his or her ranking there compared to the other candidates. Is that true?
That's true. That's true. So basically, there is a very direct feedback that the candidate gets every time that an expert ranks a response. The experts do an evaluation between 1 and 5 stars. And when then we take that and translate the stars in points, we add some extra points depending on a few other things.
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing all the talking here because you're mumbling and it isn't clear to begin with. Okay,
okay.
Please,
so, let me
try to make it, figure out. Yeah, I mean, it's not you're not coming through as clear as a bell. I mean, people have got to understand what you're doing here. Okay, so here's a question. When these candidates, you know, the applicants are coming in at different times, and so as the experts grade their tests, does their rank change? So I might look at the leaderboard today, and I'm number 2. Tomorrow, I'm number 5. Is that what happens?
That is true. That is correct. Yeah. And then what we do is that the candidate goes on the leaderboard. They see they're number 2. We notify them, and then we track their behaviors. Oh, their behavior on our tools, on our system. So if you're really interested in the position, for example, you're number 2, you come back to our system to check if you're still number 2 or somebody has overtook you. Then you're going to open all emails. You're going to click on the links that we send on the emails. And basically, we track the behavior of the candidates to tell the company how motivated and engaged they are with the opportunity. So to give you an example, we've had a few candidates that were number 1, but they would never log in our system to check if they were still number 1.
Really?
They didn't open email. Yeah. So basically, that is a signal, a flag that we give to the company that something is going on. And generally, when that happens, is that because the candidate has another offer already. So we try to give more data to the company about what the real interest of a candidate is. Because, of course, when you're interviewing somebody, what happens is that everybody looks extremely motivated, but in reality, many are not.
Okay. Okay. So hold on a second.
Would that not create some sort of a negative bias? Like, well, we only want to talk to the candidates that are very interested in us.
You know what? The sound is so. Mike, you got to hold on, Mike. The sound is so terrible. It's getting worse. Okay. It seems to be okay. Michael G. Cox, what's your point? That if they know, they're going to be biased in favor of the candidate who's motivated. Is that what you're saying? He wants them to be biased that way.
Well, then that really doesn't focus in on the ability of the candidate. I've had hiring managers in the past that passed on a candidate because the candidate hadn't researched the company, and you know that has nothing to do with the candidate's ability to do the job well.
Hamlet?
But in our system, the company has already the evaluation of the test. So the candidate has done a test, they prove that they can do the job, and then basically we track on top of it how motivated they are. So what we do
but
is we run...
What does the tracking of the motivation do to a company, a hiring manager, or whoever is conducting that final evaluation?
It's an extra data point that generally you don't have. And we tell you if they have, so to give you an example, because I think it's easier, we've had a person in sales that then was hired that she used to log in the system every day. So that showed they was extremely motivated, the candidate. And
or, desperate,
was actually,
or desperate?
Or
desperate.
Yeah, well, so we don't interpret the data. We give the data, and then the company interprets the data in the way they prepare.
That's dangerous.
Michael G. Cox, I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill here.
Okay. Well, you can think that all you want, but I've seen hiring managers, both where I work and where I've worked in the past, that pass on an excellent candidate because they are you know, not doing their research on an organization.
Well, don't you think that's significant? Let me ask you. Let the candidate comes to you.
I agree with Michael. He's right.
Thank you, Kathy.
If you are one of many employers that this candidate has access to and possible interest in, you know, and they are very capable of coming here and doing something really good, I don't think we should hold it against them that they didn't click on a daily basis or award more points to somebody that was just clicking every day multiple times a day just because maybe that's the way their personality is geared.
Yeah, well, hold on, Mike. Let me before Kathy came in there, I was asking you a question. You're interviewing somebody for a sales job, okay? The person seems pretty good, but they don't know anything about your company. They haven't taken the trouble to find out about you. Shouldn't that be something you're aware of, and shouldn't it influence you?
No. I'll often ask candidates, hey, I know that you applied for this position 3 weeks ago, or I know that you've never heard of us because I'm calling you, and I'm just curious. Have you had an opportunity to check us out, and if so, what have you found out? No, I haven't had a chance. Fine, let me give you a quick overview. That's my job.
Well, that's different. When you're called, we're not talking here about candidates who are sourced. We're talking about applicants. Okay.
Some applicants will just apply in a specific region, let's say Austin, Texas, for account executive positions that are outside sales and business to business. And your assumption is that they have to sell themselves and I don't have to sell them?
Well, yeah. Hold on a second. These guys have written, at this point, they've written a 2-hour test, right? They've taken a test.
Yes, sit through that. Who's going to sit through that? That's like only the most desperate are going to sit through 2 hours worth of the test.
What do you say about that, Hamlet? Michael G. Cox is saying that.
I've heard. This is data on our system. So if you don't talk to the candidate at all, so you have done no pre-screening, you just send them the link with the invitation, and then we do the reminders automatically. We built a system for reminders. You're going to have about 45% of all candidates that are going to do the test without talking to them.
Uh-huh.
If you
what
talk
if you
to them
if,
and then you do the
you
screening.
What if you don't
again,
well.
you're giving
Kathy,
us numbers.
Kathy, are you on a phone?
Kathy,
your sound is worse than Amleto's. Well, where are you? On the moon?
No, I'm here. I'm on my phone in my closet.
Pick up your phone.
I did.
Dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Really? I'll call back in.
No, you're okay now. You're okay now.
What if you don't test well? I mean, it takes all of the personal interaction out of the whole. I mean, listen, I respect you. You're a VP at J.P. Morgan. You were the type of candidate I would have loved to have had. And I know you know what you're doing, but I just think it's way too automated. And it's not personal, and it's not making the extra effort to speak out to that candidate directly first. I don't test well, let's say, on an SAT, but I got straight A's. I mean, I flunked
sure,
basically.
No. And the VP thing is something that I think is complementary to who I am. So, but the thing is that we don't tell companies how to do the test. So we have companies that send it to everybody because they find actually at the end they are interviewing the really best 5 candidates. So we have companies that send for a graphic designer, for example, the
test
to
everybody.
Yeah, but
there are top candidates that may not answer your questions well because they just don't test well. Or they could be, you know,
busy.
What is it? You know, it's just
but
not.
But the test is a skills test. So, for example, in graphic design, it's a test for a graphic designer. In sales, tell me who the best 5 companies you think would be for our company. Pick one person that you think would be the right person to talk to, and
why
send them a
call. Why don't you do it over
email.
The phone?
And
I don't understand why you don't do that over the phone.
That would you? Yeah, but that to you as a recruiter would take you how long to do 30 interviews, for example, over the phone with that question? To you as a recruiter, it doesn't take you any time to do that using our system.
Oh yes, it did. I worked for Deloitte. No. I worked for Deloitte as an executive recruiter, and my phone screens were typically 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's normal.
But then what I'm saying is that you send a test, the people do the test, the experts in your company or part of our network, they would do the reviews. They tell you who the best ones are. You are going to do the pre-screening interview, not with everybody, but with the ones that are the best. And
yeah.
Over time, you're going to save tons of time.
I don't.
I think my only concern. Oh, yeah, thank you. I think my only concern is there is a caveat. Your guest is stating that these individuals go through the test, and then you're able to interview only the best. But keep in mind, the test in and of itself is something that may, and I would venture to say that will, eliminate individuals from the running simply because I don't have time for this, or this is ridiculous, or I don't. So it's automatically screening out possible candidates that would be really good. So it would be more accurate to say this test will surface the top candidates that actually spent the time, had the time, and maybe a certain level of not just interest, but maybe, I don't want to, desperation to complete the whole thing.
I know, but
okay.
That is in the case you do it at the very beginning. In the case you do at the very end, like let's say the last step of the funnel, it's not a matter of desperation, it's a matter of engagement. And so you'll find that the completion rate for candidates, they do it at the very end of the funnel, 90%. So if you say your last 10 candidates, best 10 candidates you have, do the test.
Let me ask a question.
Beep, beep, beep.
Hey. Let me ask a question. Okay, you said that some companies actually screen the candidate before they give the test. Is that what you're saying? What's the right way to give the test?
We leave it to the company. So, for example, if the company feels comfortable sending it at the very beginning because they have a lot of applications, they do it at the beginning. If instead, for example, are roles that are more senior or roles that are in tech where there are not a lot of candidates, it's generally better to do it at the very end. So that's not something we tell company this is the best way of doing it and this is where you should stick to. I think it needs to be flexible enough to adapt to what a company feels it's the best way of doing it for their company.
Okay, so Michael and Kathy, does that change your attitude? What if the company actually interviews somebody first, or screens them at least, and then gives them this technical test? Is that different?
I think there is a difference. Yeah, I think that would be more appropriate. Absolutely.
Okay.
If they personally speak to them, yeah.
Okay, but does there have to be an interview? When I first saw it, I thought maybe there's no interview at all. You don't really need an interview.
Which scares me because that makes it all automated. And, Michael, you know, I'm sorry due to my lapse of memory, but, you know, he really stated it much more eloquently than I could. And I think that they are losing out on talent if you do it first.
Yeah.
I think a competency test is useful, but not judge whether a candidate is qualified or not just on that.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
What if first they do this skill test and then they get a psych test? You know,
I hate
both, those. We're both followers of, and I think fans, I'd say, of Thomas Shimura Premuzic. He's been on the show a couple of times. Okay, and he says interviews are nonsense, really, essentially, and that a psych test does better. So what if someone did one of these technical tests and then a psych test? You wouldn't have to interview them at all, theoretically. Am I right about that, Amleto?
Yeah, you can actually, on our platform, we are beta testing psych tests, and that's how I got in touch with Thomas. Because the idea is that you do the skills test, and then later you can do... Well, but again, it's up to the company. You can do the attitude test.
Is any company considering that, like for a significant position, just giving the skills test and a psych test, and hiring them on that basis?
I would venture to say that even the organizations that produce those psych tests aren't doing that.
I don't know.
There's
no way they're going to hire somebody and throw $100,000 at the dude just based on a psych test.
But no. But there's no, and there's no point. And I think, and I think it's very important. I mean, in the whole recruitment process, I think the human contact is fundamental. You need to understand as a candidate what's the culture of the company, who I'm going to be working with. He needs to do exactly the same thing.
Okay,
so
let's come back to that.
Really quick. Does your company have any interaction? You know, accompany the candidate on the phone at all, or is it all automated?
No, not us. It's the company. It's the hiring company.
He already
said, okay.
Kathy. We'll come back to that. I gotta get some ads in here. Hey, everybody, Recruiting Animal for PC Recruiter. You know what we love about PC Recruiter? Michael G. Cox, can you tell us?
It is configurable.
It's configurable. That's right. Now you know what
it's
configurable
been
means,
into my
everybody.
Brain.
Yeah, configurable. You know what it means? It means that you design the software to suit your own workflow, your own practices. They don't have somebody up in head office telling you what to do. You tell them. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, they've got a team there of very friendly people to help you configure the software. And they don't care if you're a kitchen table recruiter like Jerry sitting at your own home, or you're in a big office with a million other recruiters, big or small. They love them all. If you're a recruiter, they want to help you. So go check them out at pcrecruiter.net. Lately, I've been talking about their new candidate presentation feature. You send a link to the candidate to the client. Client presses the link. It goes to a page that presents the candidate. You set that up exactly the way you want. They don't set up some pre-formatted page. It's you do it. And I'll go back into that another time. Back to the show, our guest from Spain, Amuleto Montaneri, and Flutter. You named it Flutter, F-L-U-T-T-R. There's a lot of other companies apparently named Flutter. I mean, don't you have a problem with this ambiguation?
I think we're gonna change the name sooner or later.
Good.
When we created the company, there wasn't other weren't other Flutters, but now they are. So we have
Flutter. Yeah. Okay. We should have a contest on this show, a challenge for people to pick a good name for you.
I love it.
Kathy, what was your question before I cut? Okay, Kathy, he said they can talk to somebody like an interview. What is the point of an interview? What's your idea of why an interview is important? You started telling Kathy before I went on that ad. What's the point of an interview?
I was thinking, on the interview, I think interviews, if they're not structured, they present issues with bias. So generally, we tend to make a judgment on a person in the very first minutes we meet them, and then you can't really assess the skills of a person, the technical skills of a person in an interview. So what you try
agree.
To get out is the person.
I don't agree. Respectfully, I don't agree. I mean,
respectfully disagree.
I don't agree.
Issue,
I mean,
what? Why not? What do you think?
According to OFCCP compliance, you're supposed to ask the same questions of every candidate, and if you're a good recruiter, you're going to have some technical questions in your phone screens, and they're all going to be the same questions for everybody. So you can assess their skills over the phone.
But Kathy, so let's say your head of design is telling you that he's looking for a certain type of designer. Now you ask the questions over the phone, but you're not a designer. So how can you assess if somebody is really technically good to be a designer if you're not a designer?
Yes,
that's
our job. I mean, we can do technical recruiting. We can do hospitality recruiting. We have to learn what is pertinent to those positions, talk to our hiring managers, get knowledgeable about it. We are not technical. We're not in hospitality. But that's our job, is to assess those skills.
Yeah, but one of his issues, like he says it in his video, he wants to sidestep the ignorant recruiters who don't understand the job, right? That's what he wants.
Those are
he
bad
wants
recruiters.
To get rid of you guys.
Those are bad recruiters.
That's
the recruiters that give us
a
bad name. And I take umbrage with that. You know, I did it for 20 years and worked my way up. And, you know, you have to learn what your hiring manager wants, what the skills are, what type of projects they work on. Ask the pertinent questions. If you don't know the answer, you ask the candidate what the answer would be. You know, so in other words, you're just eliminating recruiters altogether.
Yeah,
which
you need
the human head.
Well, wait a second, Kathy.
No.
Hold on. You said you asked. We asked one of my questions. Are you eliminating recruiters? That's what it sounds like.
No, I'm not eliminating at all. I want recruiters. These are generally people that have skills in psychology. In they are more toward the human being to actually take steps from assessing technically a candidate.
Okay, but let me ask
and
you, what about candidates?
Experts,
what about candidates for human capital? I mean, those people are working with people, and who better to ask them than recruiters,
totally.
Real people?
Absolutely. But in my view, this is I could be totally ignorant on this, but in my view, HR has been put in charge of recruiting because there was a hole to fill. So the best people to assess is if a candidate is good or not at doing the job, but it's not HR. It's not the human resources.
I agree. It's the hiring
manager. It's the hiring
manager.
Team. It's the hiring team. But the hiring team is too busy doing the job they're doing. And so somebody else in HR has been put in charge to actually do that job. So what we've seen in our platform, we also ask HR departments to give us the assessment of the CV on STARS. And so these are numbers that come from our platform. 50% of all the CVs rank 4 stars, which are generally very good, and actually is the biggest percentage of CVs that we have on our platform. 50% of those are actually ranking like bad, very bad, from bad to very bad when they do a challenge. So basically, there is a mismatch between what's the representation of that candidate, even after the pre-screen, actually the real technical skills.
But then that falls on the client.
Wait a second. I'm going to dominate here. What he's saying is, and this is interesting, he's saying that a lot of the people who eventually get hired have crappy resumes. Is that what you're saying, Hamlet?
No, I'm saying that a lot of people that get to the interviews with the hiring manager are actually crappy, and they shouldn't be there in the first place.
Let me guide you. Let me walk you through this. How do they get there if they're crappy? How do they
get
to the hiring manager? Hamlet.
Jerry said it.
Oh, bad recruiters.
It was said.
Right.
Bad recruiters.
Bad recruiters. You know,
bad
the
recruiters.
Companies I worked for, they had senior VPs like you interviewing candidates. There was a panel. They weren't HR people.
Okay, but what his point is that the resume, assessment of the resume, and now he's saying a screening as well, they're irrelevant. What counts most is the test.
No.
That's what counts. That's kind of interesting.
He says
it in the video as well. Hold on a second. I'm talking in your favor here. He says that a lot of people, their resumes don't look that good, but when they take the test, they're the high-ranking candidates. Am I right, Hamlet?
You'd be amazed. So what happens is that we have companies that have hired candidates they would have not interviewed, and all those candidates hired, that they are still there, and the company is very complimentary about the job they did. And these are candidates where their CV, so we have a candidate, this is a designer. This designer presented a CV. The CV was very badly designed. This is an animation designer. So presented a CV. CV was very bad. This person didn't have a LinkedIn profile. And so the hiring manager was like, I'm never going to interview this person. The HR manager was like, they send the test anyway to everybody. They send the test to everybody. The hiring manager, because the test is blind, so the evaluation is blind, reviewed the test, and that test from that girl was actually the best one by far compared to everybody else. When she realized that the CV was behind the interviewer, she said that she's not into social networks, and that's why she didn't have a LinkedIn profile. And then she's still working there. It's 1 year and a half.
That's a hot selling point. If he's getting people, he's finding these gems who the resume wouldn't reveal them, and even maybe a recruiter pre-screen wouldn't turn them up as a likely candidate, and they're getting through this way. That impresses me. Anybody else want to comment on that?
The thing is, these sorts of tools, they do put lots of bad recruiters at risk, and I think they certainly have a place. I don't know about the length. My concern is the length of that test. You mentioned a 2-hour test.
My
concern is we're going to have candidates drop off, whether they be active job seekers or passive job seekers that already have a job, or a combination of the two, individuals that are actively looking but have plenty of opportunities knocking at their door. And that's a concern for me.
Yeah, you might be right.
You are right. So the longer the test, because the drop-off is going to be. But to give you an example, we have a company now, they put together a test for PR. We didn't have one. They put it together. And the test literally takes 15 minutes to be put together, and it worked a charm. So the vast majority of candidates, they did it. And this is very subtle. So, for example, it was write a press release, okay? And the way a person actually approaches the task tells you a lot about the way they work. So we had people that just did a very blunt thing, people that were very meticulous about how they were writing it, how they were writing the different content, the format of the content. And it showed, very quickly you see, oh, wow, this person, look at the attention to details they have. Look at the knowledge they have, because they actually wrote the message this way. That gives a lot more information away than just saying, okay, how many years have you worked in PR?
I got to do another ad. Kathy, I'll come back to you, okay? Hey, everybody.
Okay.
You know, my friend Nick Livingston over at Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, he emailed me last week because he wanted me to tell you that you can schedule, screen, and submit talent faster with Honeit interview technology. And you know why? Because Honeit automatically records and transcribes your phone interview, so you can enjoy your conversations instead of worrying about taking notes or missing something. And you know what? It also makes them searchable for all the important keywords, because as soon as the interview is over, it turns up as a printed out document. So even in a long conversation, you can find the part you want. Nothing is lost. Instead of time-consuming write-ups, this is my first time with this one, okay? Honeit lets you create 30-second sound bites that bring your candidate's submittals to life and help others to quickly hear a candidate's domain knowledge, technical skills, and personality, okay? The system was designed by recruiters who tried all the video tools but realized it's our daily candidate conversations that really still count. The best part is that zero integration is required. Simply connect your Google or Outlook calendar, place a Honeit scheduling link anywhere in your workflow. Honeit works with every ATS or CRM. You're never going to look at phone interviews the same once you've experienced honeit.com. I'm going to rewrite that, Nick, if you're listening today. I am rewriting it. It's not bad, but I'll edit it. I'm going to streamline it for you. Okay, Kathy.
I just have a question. I mean, if you're questioning the skill level of recruiters doing phone screens, who are the people that are compiling your tests? I mean, are they?
They're subject matter. They're domain experts. They're subject matter experts.
They're domain experts on the job. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
but you said
I
something.
So the,
okay, you said something.
So, and to the point.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you can finish.
No. About the killing bad recruiters. I don't think it's the ambition here to kill anybody. The idea is to empower every recruiter to ensure that they bring the best candidates in front of the hiring manager at the end. And I think that's very important because then.
Okay,
you
advertise that this makes hiring 40% faster. Where do you pull that number out of?
Yeah, so basically, because you end up interviewing better candidates, so you would just looking at the CV and generally doing the pre-screening call. What happens is that instead of this is a statistic we gather from every client we work with. Generally, if five candidates get in front of the hiring manager, one is good, and the hiring manager feels can extend an offer. But if that one falls through, you need
Hold
to restart
on.
The
five
process.
Five candidates and only one is good. So if the first one he chooses, if the candidate, the first choice, says no, I'm not interested, or the money's not right. You know, we can't come to an agreement for some reason, or I'm taking a different position. Then there's no follow up. There's no backup candidates after five interviews. That's what you're saying.
And then you need to start again. And that's what makes hiring so challenging and long at times. You don't have a backup candidate.
I don't think that's true. I think if you got five shortlisted, you're going to find more than one candidate in there that's worth hiring. Anybody want to back me up on that?
I agree.
Well, they're on the short list for a reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I agree. But let me go back to interviews.
Never happened?
Okay. Here's what you were saying with interviews. They're terribly biased. But if you're getting a technical assessment from, let's say, this test, then you do an interview. The interview actually, it doesn't matter if you're biased. If you're looking at the interview to see if this is a person I can really work with, you already know the technical skill from the test, right? So if you know you've got your own biases, you like people who are tall or people who are short or people who are very relaxed or people who are formal, you know, your biases are what count. You want to work with someone who plays to your biases. Those are the kind of people you're going to be enjoy hanging around with 8 hours a day. Am I right about that?
But
once you separate
totally,
the technical
totally.
Skill, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But what happens is that, so for example, let's say you have one of those candidates that you don't generally feel comfortable working with. I don't know why, for reason. For example, in a young startup, where there might be somebody that is overage. And more experience, you don't feel comfortable. Now, if that person does the test and does the test extremely well, now when it's sitting in front of you, you see it completely differently because you want to work also with the best people. You don't just want people that look like you. And so that changes the perspective on the bias thing because bias is, it's natural to our human us as a human being. But when you have bias before knowing if somebody's good or not, you're actually up. It actually happens. Our candidates are very good.
Okay.
You
have a story. There's a story I want to get out here. You have a story about a bad boss. I loved it. Whoever wrote it, if you wrote it, it was well done. And, you know, while you're reading the story, you hate her. Do you want to tell the story about her?
It's part of our blog. So our blog is supposed to have a twisted perspective on things and show bad stories of bad hires. And it's a story of a bad boss that doesn't value.
Look, I asked you to tell it. Look, if you're not going to tell it, I'll have to tell it myself. Okay? He had a boss.
Tell it yours.
Another guy and a woman. She was the boss, and she was very sociable. He said she managed up very well, but she was a bad manager for her subordinates. She would add a little something to their work. It could be just a word, and then she would claim it as her own, right? And so they hated her. Then what happened? She got sick, or she had to stay away for 8 weeks. She went on a trip, something like that. On a trip. You went away for 8 weeks, and she couldn't get the work done because she had no ability of her own, and it was exposed, and she got fired, right? And the thing is,
yes.
You say that if if your employer would have been using Flutter, they would have seen that right away, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Is that, that's what the point of that story, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a true story. I mean, that's it's not a personal one, but it's a true story, and it happens. And I think everybody's been there where there's a boss that claims they can do everything, they're very good, and take ideas away from the team.
Yeah, but hold
then,
on a second. You take it. Wait a second. You take it a step further in that story. You say she was so good at networking, especially, you know, selling herself to the senior executives. You said that she would have been much better in sales, and that Flutter would have caught that. How would Flutter have figured out that she's a good salesperson? I don't get it from what you've told us today about the test.
Maybe they would have done a like a general. Do you have like a general exam that shows all possible, like an ASVAB?
No, that's like an assessment, general skill assessment. No.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a psychometric test. It's a psychometric test. So I'm sure you're familiar with the Big Five.
Yeah.
With what?
So in
Big Five personality traits.
Big Five challenge. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So in Flutter, you can use that to complement the technical skill set.
Okay, that's what I was asking you before. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
12 minutes. 12 minutes. 12 minutes for the candidates to complete it. Yeah.
That's all?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all. You can do it via mobile too. And
psychometric tests and also skills assessments.
Yeah.
Yes, you can do both.
But the psychometric, it sounds like he doesn't put much importance on it. It's like a 10-minute test. The other one's 2 hours long.
Right now, it's because we are learning things. So it's something you can't set it up. I can set it up for you if you're a customer,
uh-huh.
and we talk only to specific customers about it. Because there's a lot of things that I think we need to learn. So to give you an example, we do something. You were talking about biometrics a few shows ago.
Yeah.
We do something similar. So the company creates what we call a model. The best employees they have in a certain role, they do the test, the psychometric test. We create a model using an algorithm that we developed, and then every candidate is mapped against the model that we created.
You create a model. In Pymetrics, it's created by looking at the people who are successful in the job already
yeah.
and then measuring the candidates
yeah.
against them.
Same thing.
Right?
Same thing.
But people say, but I've seen the critics say that you might be measuring it against irrelevant characteristics. I think that's unlikely, but...
For example, to give you an idea on sales, because
you know what? Let me switch. I want to get this question. I want to get a question out before, and we'll come back to this if we have a minute. I have to do another ad, but also, let's say the company, the hiring manager, I want a problem solver. That's very common. I want someone who's analytic. Mm-hmm. I want a problem solver. How do you test for that? Do you have any idea or? Pardon me?
The problem solver will come out of the challenge, not the psychometric test. If you're a problem is you have to fix it.
So the
psychometric test, it will tell you, the Big Five will not tell you if somebody is a problem solver.
Forget the psychometric test. I'm not talking about the psychometric test anymore.
Sorry.
The problem solving test.
Okay.
Can you give me an example of a question that you've ever seen? Maybe this is outside of your range of knowledge,
sure.
and it's in the. Can you remember anything that you know?
No.
This is a problem solver.
So to give you an example, UX designer. Generally, problem solving is a very important thing. There's a flow, user flow, that is created in one of the templates, and then say we have a large drop off of people here. Now in this part of the flow. Fix the problem and tell us how you would do it. And that's
so those are like technical. But if someone was a recruiter and you're looking for a recruiter who can solve problems, it's harder to come up with a question because it's not a technical issue. It's not obviously technical.
Sure.
Can I ask your guest a question?
Go ahead, Kathy. Go ahead.
Again, I really respect your positions that you've had previously. And in kind, I hope you respect recruiters who are good and do these type of assessments very well, you know, on the phone, and don't give us such a bad name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the show's not over yet, but that's
good. Those of us that are pretty good couldn't care less. We're too damn busy.
I know, but still, I mean, I don't like being demeaned. I mean, not that he demeaned us, but, you know, we are an important asset to companies.
No,
you fight back, Kathy.
Totally
you
agree.
Fight back.
I totally agree. So, but how long it takes you to assess 10 candidates over the phone?
45
and,
minutes.
And then 45 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 450 minutes. Now, you send a link to these candidates, you do a pre-screening of, let's say, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you send them the link. They'll come back to you. On our platform, generally, to review a test, it takes no more than 5 minutes. The experts in your team or our team will review it. We'll give you a feedback. And then instead of interviewing just 10 people, you can actually screen 30 people. So you
Kathy, hold on, Hamlet, there's not much time. Hamlet, I did some research. I'll give you your own figures. And in his article, he says every corporate job attracts about 250 resumes. Only 4 or 6 of these people are going to get called for an interview. Okay? The recruiters don't have enough time to process the number of applicants. That's why he believes it's necessary. You know, Kathy, I think maybe he's operating in a different realm than we are. We're headhunters, okay? We're always looking for, you know, a kind of person that's very hard to find. He's talking about a company that's advertising to a mass audience. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe that would account for
No, I can see that. I just wanted, you know, to note that we have an important part in the hiring process.
He's European. What do you expect, okay? We're North American.
But I think you do have an important role in the hiring process and in the company. I think it's fundamental to actually free your time to do more quality work rather than work on things that might be automated and automated the right way.
I'm feeling guilty. I got a guy who's buying me coffee to do his ads, okay? He's paying for my coffee and Jerry's too, even though Jerry's not here. And I got to do his ad before the show's over. It should have been done half an hour ago, okay? So first off, I have to tell everybody that Hire Tool is having some demos online with a great sourcer named Todd Davis, okay? Used to be with Google, Amazon, he's now with Indeed. All big famous companies, and he's going to tell you how to use Hire Tool to research Facebook. Everybody wants to know how to pull people off Facebook because it's not always obvious. You might not be connected to them. They don't list their job titles, but there's ways to find out, okay? So go and take a look at that. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And in case you don't know it, Hire Tool is the super duper sourcing tool. You go to HireTool.com. You don't have to know Boolean. You put in all the parameters of your search in just regular English. It translates it into a search string, searches a wide, wide range of websites like LinkedIn, like Facebook, like GitHub, Stack Overflow, gives you a ranked list of candidates back. It guesses who's going to be ready to leave, what the people are earning, and it's also very good at delivering personal and professional email addresses and phone numbers. So go check it out at Hire Tool, HireTool. What were you saying when I cut you off, Hamlet?
I think it's a matter of just helping companies.
We're still talking about if we like recruiters or not. No, I got something else before the show's over.
Hey,
one
thing that really upset me that he said was, I don't think anybody caught this when he was talking about a boss that was taking credit for his work. He said he left his office once for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Europe.
Oh my goodness!
Europe,
something gets done over there.
That happened here.
8 weeks. Well, he sent. He maybe it was paternity leave. I don't know. But he sent. I read his article, and he linked to an article on Recruiting Daily by Matt Charney. I didn't know he was such an egghead, okay? But I read this, and it's written for recruiters. I didn't understand it, so I told Amleto that I'm going to ask him on the show, and here it is. I'm going to read slowly, everybody. This is what Matt says. For intelligence, artificial or otherwise, to be achieved, cognition must occur. And so far, while we've gotten deontology down pat, deontology, you can't ever achieve any sort of simulated neurological functioning without ontology, which we're finding out is much harder to code into our core stacks. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Hamlet, do you know what that means? Can you tell me?
Yeah, it's explained very literally, but so it's especially when it comes to artificial intelligence, there's a lot of claims that artificial intelligence can solve problems, and the problem with that claim is actually we haven't really understood the problem in the first place. So to give you an example,
artificial intelligence is currently at the equivalent of being brain dead. It's just going to take a long time to get there.
Yeah, the best CV. So, but what the technology does is only overlaps words, keywords that are on the CV with the keywords that are on the job ad. Okay, so the problem is that you can't apply artificial intelligence that way because you don't know what actually makes a good CV a good CV in the first place. You could lie on the CV and the artificial intelligence will never catch it. So the fact that we're talking a lot in recruitment, as in many other areas, of artificial intelligence as a problem solver is actually not real. It's marketing, but as in many different places. So you can apply artificial intelligence, the more sophisticated way of artificial intelligence, of machine learning, on problems that are already being fixed manually. And once they're fixed manually, machine learning will accelerate the speed of fixing the problem.
Okay,
the
I put Jerry to sleep. He's not here, but if he was here, he'd be asleep. Okay, I'm not even going to ask you what deontology means. Final statements, I'm going to speak for Kathy. Kathy's saying, don't underestimate recruiters, okay? That's her message. Michael G. Cox, final words?
I'm good, man. You guys have a good one. Hasta luego.
Okay, and for Flutter, Amleto, final words? Do you have something you'd like to say goodbye to?
No.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody. And
yeah, okay, yeah. Plug your product. Go check us out at FLUTT. R.in?
Dot I-N.
Why I-N?
Yes, dot I-N. It's flattering. It's
why?
To be,
why not dot com? Why not dot com?
Because it was cuter.
Expensive.
It was cute with the I-N.
So.
Somebody else had it. Okay, well, that means you got to change your name for sure. Take it off IN.
Oh, of course.
Make it dot com. Okay, that was a great show. Actually, much better than I expected.
The change?
What?
When we do the change, we'll be back on the show. I'll be back on the show when we do the change.
Okay,
then.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you!
Thank you, guys.